Shio, and welcome to DrStanleyLive.com, where you can enjoy provocative internet radio without going too far. I'm your host, Dr. Loretta Stanley, broadcasting from my hometown of St. Louis, Missouri. I vividly remember the first time I consciously sensed my spirit coupled with the spirit of another person. Words were powerless because everything had been said with the eyes. This was my introduction to connecting with someone on a deep, penetrating level, without words, physical gestures, or facial expression. It was entirely different than my mom giving me the look or falling in love at first sight. There were no visual indicators or cues necessary to send this message. The bottomless, permeating meeting of the eyes sought painful questions and received no answers. At the exact moment of that coupled connection, I emphatically knew the distinction between hurting someone externally versus hurting someone internally. My spirit recognized my action, as well as my lack of action, and my soul was moved to emotion. When I was in junior high school, there was a girl in my class whose lifestyle was less than what was acceptably cool. Even though we didn't hang out together, have sleepovers, or talk on the phone, we were on friend-like terms. She had the most amazing smile, cheerful laugh, and a wonderful disposition. She was also overweight, which was the minimal amount of evidence needed for a crowd of classmates to crucify her. One day, after a long and hot, sweaty gym class, nearly every girl in the locker room decided to throw her into the shower. It was planned all during class how the covert action was going to go down. I created a safe distance between the horde of girls and myself so I wouldn't have to bear the burden of explaining the incident later to a teacher. In my mind, this took me out of the loop of responsibility. As she was forced into the shower through the swarm of girls, her eyes locked with mine and tenderly said, "Why are you doing this to me?" My eyes shamefully and quietly replied, "I don't know. I don't know." As the water poured down her puffy cheeks, we kept our eyes locked on each other. I tried to hang my head and not look, but her eyes drew me in closer. Without a tear in her eye and staring directly into the depths of my soul, I could feel her strength and gentleness. Her will was powerful and her resolve was absolute. The humiliation, disgrace, and embarrassment and degradation she was meant to experience drifted through space and embedded in the center of my being. I felt her emotions run through my blood and bite my core. It hurt. She had nothing to be ashamed of, but I most certainly did. Through our fixed and steady gaze, my soul felt every jab of affliction. I couldn't seem to gather enough strength to help her, but I did manage to muster up enough energy to turn my back and run shamefaced in another section of the locker room. As I rode home on the bus that afternoon, I sat and stared out the window thinking about what I'd done and what I'd failed to do. My mind could not concoct a story to justify my behavior or how I would be able to face her again. I was exhausted trying to figure out how to deny or excuse my way out of this scenario. The truth kept coming back and staring me in the face. Although my hands were not physically on her, I was part of the crowd. As others were shouting obscenities and ridiculing her, I was silently part of the mob. Even though others were snickering and cackling, I was on the periphery, quietly watching and listening. She did nothing to deserve this, and I just stood there. As the years passed, my soul was willing me to remember the spiritual connection of that day, and I would search for my former classmates for years to deliver my most sincere apologies, but to no avail. I prayed that the experience made her stronger in life, and not weaker. I asked that something good would come out of this for her and everyone else. And I prayed that this did not keep her from functioning at a level lower than she was capable. It would be easy enough to simply blame the whole incident on being a teenager, but I knew what I was feeling when our eyes locked and our spirits connected on that intense, fleshless plane. I knew it was wrong when I watched, and I knew it was even more wrong when I did nothing. This profound sense of awareness that my spirit had accessed moved my soul to feel another person's suffering. As time passed and I walked along my spiritual progression path, I recalled a similar story I heard as a little girl. I began contemplating all the reasons why Jesus came to help us. It dawned on me that he came to show us who we are and who we can become. It bothered me why everyone simply just stood around and watched him suffer. They watched while he was scourged and beaten, slapped, whipped, and crucified. Now, even though a prophecy was in the midst of being fulfilled, still no one tried to help. The people who were closest to him just stood there as he was struck on the head and spit upon by the angry mass of people. And it was only Simon of Cyrene, a passerby on a pilgrimage, who assisted, but even he had to be pressed into service. As Simon looked on, a guardsman picked him out of a crowd and told him to pick up his cross, pick up Jesus' cross, and carry it for him. And I saw myself in that same position as the mob crucifying him when I didn't blink an eye to help a friend in need. I just stood there. My eyes were opened, and I was blessed with the awareness that sometimes we, too, have to help carry the burdens of others, just like Simon of Cyrene. As life so cleverly teaches us, sometimes the wisdom of an experience may not come until much later in life. In Cherokee, we say, until we meet again, Deinada gohaya. And remember, nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Have a great day, everyone.